May the Lord help us to commence this morning with part of hymn 507. We'll sing verse 1, 5, and then verse 8 to the end. How oft I grumble and repine with blessings in my hand. There's nothing here can satisfy, nor gold, nor house, nor land. 507, verses 1, 5, and then 8 to the end.
Thank you.
May the Lord help us to read two portions from his word. Firstly, Jonah chapter 1, followed by the first book of Thessalonians chapter 5. Jonah chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah, and cast him forth into the sea. And the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Now 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First book of Thessalonians, chapter 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, Peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken, are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labour among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. May the Lord bless his word and help his servant to pray.
O Lord, almighty and most gracious God, we do now pray for thy help as we come before thee. O Lord, how we are dependent upon thee to grant that almighty help and strengthening. O Lord, that we may be given that true sense that we're in thy sight, O Lord Jesus. For, O Lord, thou wilt one day come, and this earth shall pass away, and those that are thine enemies shall be slain with the sword that goeth forth from thy mouth. And, O Lord, may we consider these things. O Lord, do grant us that true solemnity. O Lord, that thou grant us that help as we come in prayer, that we may truly pray unto thee, knowing that we are coming before the Creator of heaven and earth, that when we hear thy word, we may hear it as the word, truly the word of God. O Lord, do deliver us from a spirit of sleepiness, carelessness, indifference. But, O Lord, only Thou, O Holy Spirit of truth, canst come down with power to give us, to take away that heart of stone and give a heart of flesh, a living heart, a new heart. O Lord, do by the Spirit give us that new heart to receive Thy word, to pray unto Thee. And, O Lord, do deliver us from that spirit of rebellion which so often besets us, to have heard Thy word, to know Thy judgments, to know Thy calling, yet to run contrary, not according to Thy word. O Lord, do increase our faith. Grant us that grace, we pray, and that strengthening, so to receive Thy word. Look in mercy upon us, we pray, and grant to the power of Thy Holy Spirit to be upon us. O Lord, do reveal unto us the dying love of Thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and His shed blood. For, O Lord, if we meditated more upon Thy dying love, Thy shed blood, Thy glorious love, and were more in prayer that Thou mightest come in the Spirit upon us, would there not be more of that walking in Thy way in the Spirit? Will there not be more love in our hearts? Oh, that we may think upon Thee, O Lord Jesus, and see Thy love, Thy shed blood, Thy sacrifice. That, O Lord, our lives may be a living sacrifice to Thine honour and glory, out of love. Thou didst love so much, and alas, we love so little. But, O Lord, we do pray that Thou mightest stir up our hearts by the Spirit, that we may show forth Thy love. And, O Lord, if there be any here that are strangers to these things, O Lord, we do pray that Thou wouldst be pleased to speak a word of power into their hearts. O Lord, that the word may come with power even this day, that they may be awakened out of the sleep of death and be brought into eternal life through Thy dear Son, the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And, O Lord, if there be any here in backsliding, in disobedience, O Lord, do awake them, we pray, by Thy gracious hand. And, O Lord, we do look unto Thee for Thy, for much needed help this day. Thou knowest the weakness in my voice. But, O Lord, we do praise Thee that Thy work is not according to the strength of man's voice, but according to the power of Thy word and by the Spirit. And how there was that power in the still small voice. O Lord, we do pray that Thou mightest speak by the Spirit unto our souls this day. But, O Lord, we do it yet pray that Thou hast grant that strength to declare Thy word, that strength in the body, but more so that anointing of the Spirit to be kept faithful, to speak that which is well-pleasing in Thy sight. And Thou, by Thy gracious hand, may be upon each one of us. And, O Lord, we would pray for our friends, the deacons here, and their responsibility over this church, and each one of the church members, that Thou wouldst uphold them and bless them, keep them in that true spirit of unity and in fellowship in the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And, O Lord, we do pray that Thou wouldst raise up and provide a pastor over them according to Thy word and Thy heavenly pattern revealed unto us. And, O Lord, that Thou hast blessed each one here that gathers regularly, and we do pray there may be those brought in who would truly seek. They may be awakened by Thy Spirit to see that they are abiding in the city of destruction, and they may flee unto thee rather than away from thee. O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst be pleased to grant thy favour upon the churches, that raising up of ministers and pastors, O Lord, as we see those taken, aged servants laid aside, growing old in weakness and infirmity, and some laid aside suddenly with sickness. O Lord, it does so trouble us. And what needs there are. O Lord, we pray that thou wouldst return in mercy unto us. Grant that there may be a turning again in prayer, that thou wouldst be pleased to raise up godly men and women once more and children in the churches. Raise up deacons, raise up ministers, pastors, mothers in Israel, godly members of the church. O Lord, we do pray that thou mightest anoint thy servants even this day, that the word may come with power. And we would pray for any that are laid aside, that cannot come to thy house as they would do, or those that care for those that are sick or infirm. O Lord, do visit them and help them. Do uphold them and bless them in their souls. And any here that are in sickness, weakness, pain or trouble, O Lord, we do pray that the word may come powerfully into their hearts. May be a light unto their path, to show the way that they should take. And oh, we would pray for any that could be here, but have not a desire, that are taken up with the things of this life, or in utter rebellion against thee, in hatred. O Lord, we would pray that thou wouldst touch their hearts, that they may come, they may seek thee. And O Lord, any that are indifferent, considering that this service is but just that which they ought to do, and having done it, they've done their duty, and then the time's their own. O Lord, who deliver us from such a condition, for indeed I was thus, and O Lord, thou didst save me by thy gracious hand. And O Lord, if there be any here that consider that coming just to a service now is all that need be done, O Lord, do deliver them from such a place, that they may be brought into true spiritual life, to truly desire to seek thee, that they must press forward unto thee, that they may not despise thy holy name. And O Lord, now we do pray for thy help, thy strengthening hand, that opening up of the scriptures, that we may have ears to hear, and the word entering in, we may be raised up to walk in thy ways, in faith and in love and in the Spirit, to thine honour and glory. We do pray now for thy help, and praise thee for thy goodness that has yet brought us here, that we have a place to worship in, so many things before us that speak of thy goodness, thy providential mercies to us. O Lord, may we not abuse these things, but rather see them as tokens of thy goodness and thy mercy, and we may in the Spirit be encouraged to come unto thee, to plead for mercy, to bring all our cares before thee, to trust in thee, to look unto thee as our Saviour. Then help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn 915. Why, O my soul, art thou dismayed? Why in these tents of sorrow groan? On what have thy fond hopes been stayed, still seeking rest, but finding none? 915.
May the Lord help us to come to his holy word, that we may learn of him. Oh, I desire to speak this morning, particularly from Jonah, chapter 1 and verse 6. Jonah chapter 1 and verse 6. So the shipmaster came to him, that is Jonah, and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. We have in Scripture those who are sleeping the sleep of death, and those of whom the Lord has called by sovereign grace to awake them, to cry upon for mercy, to seek the Lord. We have others that are left to their own destruction. We have those who are awakened, and I can testify that I am one of whom the Lord awakened out of that sleep of death to cry truly upon his name. But we have, like as perhaps particularly we read here in Jonah, of those who know the call of God, that know the Lord, but in a backsliding condition, fall asleep. But the Lord will, in his mercy and his sovereignty, awaken them, chasten them. So, our desire of the Lord's grace to be able to bring forth, speak particularly concerning those two cases of sleepiness. For the Lord knows if there are those here who are yet sleeping the sleep of death, that although you may be very familiar with the chapel and the people who meet here, and the deacons and some of the ministers, but there's one who you do not know, and that is the Lord. It is a very solemn place, that is, to know the chapel, know the people, know the hymn book, know even some of the texts of the Scriptures. And really, when you come, you desire to meet the other people there, and your friends and relations, and to talk with them. But was there any desire to come and meet with the Lord, to hear what the Lord saith, truly? To speak with the Lord in prayer, to have communion with him? For if your only reason to come here is to meet with friends and family, I say you're sleeping the sleep of death. Or if your taste of the Lord is gracious and you're sliding back into these things, you're sleeping in that place that John Bunyan wrote in Pilgrim's Progress of the Enchanted Ground, where there was that falling asleep. Or the place of Bypath Meadow, where there was a going astray from the way of God, the narrow way, the hard way, the right way. But may the Lord grant that the word may come with power. My voice is very weak. It is always very trying when one has a clear text to preach from, and then, well, it is not surprising that the devil should oppose. One should find one's voice to be weak, or some other problem intervenes. I was only hearing my pastor speak of that yesterday at a meeting. How true. How the word of the Lord is opposed. And may the voice, the word of God, come with power of the Spirit. It cannot come with the power of my flesh. And these things are wisely brought to bring to remind us of it, that thorn in the flesh, lest we should think that by our strength of our own voice we can do any good in the souls of those that hear us. But we have need of the voice of God, that still small voice. So let us consider Jonah. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee. He fled from the presence of the Lord. He fled in the opposite direction. You see, Nineveh was to the east of Israel, inland or northeast. He set sail to the west. The Lord had called him to the land and he went to the sea. The Lord had called him towards the east and he went to the west. Although he knew it was the word of the Lord. There we see the hardness of our heart, our carnal heart, fleshly heart, to hear the word of the Lord and do the very opposite. And he seemed to have a smooth passage so far. He had the fare to pay. There was a boat. There seemed to be no opposition. And there is a word of warning to us. Just because the way seems smooth, the way that we have chosen, which perhaps, or the way you've chosen, that you know is contrary to God's word, just because things are going smoothly, do not assume that the Lord is indifferent, that somehow the Lord has changed his mind. Somehow the Lord will overlook these things, for he will not. It's a mercy if we're brought into a storm in this life while we're yet on praying ground. For if the Lord does not shake us out of these things in the storms of this life, by the power of his Spirit there shall be that terrible storm, an eternal one, that the ungodly shall face in hell. But we speak these things as a warning. We speak these things that it may be used of God to awaken sinners and awaken backsliding saints. One thing that I would note at the beginning, the Lord's commission to Jonah was to go forth and cry against that great city Nineveh, the capital of the Assyrian Empire. In that day, one of the greatest of cities, evidently a place of wickedness, but the Lord would show mercy. And there is even and not a message of hope. Even the most vile wretch, the most wicked of sinners, whether it be in some outward vile thing or in things in respect of the church and the things of God. How even that great city and its wickedness has come up before the Lord, yet the Lord, in that way, there was the sending forth of Jonah to preach. And indeed, we read that there was a repentance given unto them, as we read in the third and fourth chapters of Jonah. The Lord is merciful. But Jonah was called to cry against it, to go forth and preach. One thing I noticed in meditating upon this word, he wasn't called to go to that great city, and as we read later, he had to go. And he did. He wasn't called to go and speak to the people and say, well, perhaps I suggest that your life should be a little better, or to speak very quietly to them. He was called to cry. But there was an urgency. The judgments of God were before that city. And so it is in the ministry. There must be a crying unto the people. It's not just a little matter that we're come together over, not just come here to suggest that you might consider, or perhaps point out one or two things that you might like to think about, to speak very quietly and as a matter of most urgency. Well, it should be. Alas, the ungodly see it as a matter of nothing. About the salvation of your souls. About the coming of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. As the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and where shall you stand? Where shall I stand? Some of us have had those reminders, perhaps very recently, of the frailty of our life or the uncertainty of it. And that we may sooner than we think be standing before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. No longer standing before each other in Swavesey Chapel, but before the great white throne. And then how shall it be? And so, with such a text as this, I believe most firmly before God, the Lord has called me to be pointed about these things. I know it offends some. We do not like the ministry to come closely. Do not like the ministry to come and touch the idols, but just to smooth over things. Where there is that call of God, it is to cry against. Yet, in the gospel, it is not only to cry against sin and the way of ungodliness, to point and to warn of that broad way of destruction, but to point unto Christ and mercy. And we read of those that received mercy, that took, as it were, the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. There is a pressing forward, an urgency. Not an indifference, a carelessness, but an urgency. Is there that in your prayers? If not, I fear that there is a sleepiness, an indifference. Or may we be stirred up to that urgency in prayer, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I'm not speaking here about a fleshly obtaining of God's kingdom, nor is the word of God. But the word of God is very clear. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force, that pressing forward. And I'd ask that question like that heathen shipmaster said unto Jonah, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise and call upon thy God." If your life is a life spiritually of indifference, carelessness, say within yourself, well, it can wait another day, wait another week, wait another year. I've got my life before me. All these things that I read in God's will, they can wait. That is not the Spirit, the Holy Spirit's work. Where the Spirit is upon you, there will be a pressing forward. Lord, save me, or else I die. I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Jacob was certainly awake that night at Brook Jabbok. He wasn't there sleeping anymore. He'd had many years in his life, in his dealings with Esau, where he was spiritually asleep, as it were. His deceitfulness, his lies. But he was awake now. There was that great trial before him. Expecting before the coming day was out that he may have been slain with the sword of Esau and his 400 men. And his wise children, flocks likewise. Thus he came and wrestled with God in prayer. Rather, God, we read the angel of the Lord wrestled with him. We read that first. That shows that we need the power of God to be upon us. And all the glory is unto the Lord, but may we have that wrestling prayer. Where there is that wrestling prayer, there's a sign that we're awake. For one thing, you notice that Jonah didn't do in this chapter was to pray. The heathen crew of the ship prayed. First they prayed unto their heathen gods, and then they prayed unto the Lord. It's only as we read on into chapter 2 do we read of any prayer with Jonah. It was when he was in the belly of the whale, in that fish, great fish, there Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Now Jacob was in, well, he was a praying man, but he brought into such a deep affliction and trouble and immediacy of trial there at Brook Jabbok. It's no good saying, well, I'll pray about it next week. He needed the Lord to appear now. That would be a good spirit for you and I to be in. I'm not speaking here against a waiting upon the Lord, but where we're in that place of trial, where we suddenly see that we're in great danger. Where we see that we must soon stand before the judgment seat of Christ, perhaps. The Lord knows. There can no longer be a putting off of prayer to another time. We'll read something else rather than God's word today. Maybe we'll read the Bible tomorrow. Maybe we'll pray a little more the day after. There's a spirit of sleepiness, but oh, that the Lord would awaken us, that we may press forward unto the Lord, to cry unto him. And how the Lord in his wisdom brings these trials upon us, to bring us out of that sleepy state, to bring us to that place where we must cry. Lord, save me, or else I die. Lord, help me. That Canaanitish woman was brought to that through that severe affliction upon her daughter. The centurion came unto the Lord because of the sickness upon his servant. Jairus, because of the imminent death of his daughter, came to the Lord. Those lepers, they came unto the Lord because of their leprosy. And how many of us could speak of those trials that the Lord has brought upon us, without which we should be yet in indifference, carelessness, sleeping the sleep of death, content with the things of this life, or an outward form of worship? But the trial came. And then the outward form of worship, a sleepiness, couldn't save us. We had need of salvation. And it was the Lord's sovereign purpose that Jonah should be awakened out of not just a natural sleep, we read of here, but he was in a spiritual sleep. He should be awakened to come to that pathway of repentance and prayer and obedience to the Lord's heavenly calling. And the Lord would not have him, as it were, to drift around in a boat, like many that, alas, drift around in every, blown about with every wind of doctrine. There is another sign of sleepiness, drifting about, blown about. Oh, that we may be awakened. That we may be built upon the rock, Christ Jesus, the eternal Word of God, and upon the written Word, which is in that glorious union. The written in the incarnate Word, in all things are the same. So it was the Lord's sovereign purposes to raise up that storm, that Jonah should be awakened and brought in and he raised up, prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, that he should be in the depths, in the dark. And as this is a warning to any that are like Jonah sleeping, as we read on, is it not also an encouragement to those that are in that deep place, that dark place, in deep trouble, that the Lord prepared great fish to swallow up Jonah, so the Lord commanded, spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land, that there was deliverance. There was mercy. Jonah's prayers were heard. And so will your prayers be heard. For the Lord has prepared, as it were, that great fish or great trial to swallow you. As it were, totally be swallowed up by this trial, so great and deep it is. But yet the Lord will be pleased to deliver you out of it. That you may walk in his ways to his honour and glory. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? I don't know how many of you have been in a storm on the sea or by the coast where the strength of the wind is blowing and the noise that of it going through the rigging and the parts of the ship and the spray and everything else and the crashing of the waves. One would have thought that surely Jonah would have been awakened by that. Terrific noise. And the shaking and the tossing of the ship, but he was asleep. This shows it was not just a natural sleep. There was a spiritual sleep here. As we said, there was no prayer. There was just a fleeing from the Word of God and the call of God. And the shipmaster came to him. Now, as this is recorded in God's holy Word, we may be assured that these words were not just the shipmaster's words, but were given unto the shipmaster to speak in God's sovereignty. This was the word of God unto Jonah. And although the natural howling of the winds and the waves would not awake him in any way, and he was asleep. And so that is like multitudes who go through the deepest of trials. Yet in the midst of them, they're still asleep. Or there do seem to be any awakening. It's only awakening to curse God and to defy him. But what we have so much more the need is the word of God to come. Despite the howling of the gale, yet when this word came to Jonah, he awakened. And we have that need of God's word to come to our soul. What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. Here we have the way of salvation set before us. There's that need of calling upon God in prayer, in repentance, that the Lord may be pleased to think upon us for good, that we perish not. There's that need of arising. And how shall we arise? How can we arise, such vile creatures as ourselves? We have that need of the resurrection power of our Lord, who is the first to rise again, and the church with him. It is in the resurrection power of Christ that we have that need of coming unto the Lord. May we then plead with the Lord, Lord, have mercy upon my soul. Lord, do grant me that resurrection power in my life. Do speak the word into my soul that I may be delivered from that sleepy condition, that I perish not. Well, there was a sentence of death, was there not here? And the Apostle Paul speaks in times of great tribulation in his ministry. We had the sentence of death upon ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. That sentence of death was upon them. But yet there was hope. You see here that in these words there was yet hope. What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us and that we perish not. And truly, where there is faith, there is hope. Where there is repentance mixed with faith, indeed, true repentance is the work of faith. There is hope. It's not like, if we may call it a type of repentance, that King Saul had at times when he was sorry concerning what he had done to David, but there another year would go by and he'd be doing the same again, in persecuting David again. Or if he was not doing that, he'd gone to the witch of Endor. There seemed to be a hopelessness. And at times there was a sorrow over what he had done. The conscience smote him, but there was no faith. Or Judas Iscariot, who knew that he had done wrong and went out and hung himself after he had betrayed the Lord. There was no hope. And how precious faith is, when in the midst of deep trial, yet there is hope. Yet there is a looking unto the Lord. For who can tell that the Lord will be merciful? It may be that we have the sentence of death upon us. And where is the hope there? It is in that glorious life that is to come. That one day each one of us, unless we be alive at the Lord's second coming, we must face death. And that great trial. And some face it young, and some old, some in middle years, some with warning, and some without any warning. But except we be alive at the Lord's second coming, we shall, each one of us, face it. And then, regardless of whether we die here below or alive at the Lord's coming, we shall each stand before the judgment seat of God to give an account. We are accountable. Everyone upon this earth must come before their Creator, and in that sense their God, to whom they owe honour and thanks and glory, but except we be in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his resurrection power, cleansed with his precious blood, we shall perish eternally. But there, in the name of Jesus, there is the key of hope, the door of hope, the way of hope. And the Lord Jesus Christ went before. We read that reference to Jonah being the 3 days and nights in the belly of that great fish concerning our Lord, in types setting forth the Lord's sufferings. And then his laying in the tomb and then rising again the third day. Now the Lord Jesus Christ, he bore that judgment that should by rights have fallen upon us according to the law. We deserved, yet he bore our punishment. And he rose again that we may be brought into newness of life, that we may not sleep the sleep of death. And it is in the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, there is the hope, that if you are in deep trouble, whether it be soul trouble or being brought into deep trouble in other things, and indeed a true believer, we cannot just separate soul matters from providential matters. They're interlinked. But whether it be more particularly in matters of the soul or providence, there's still that need to cry unto the Lord. And what a mercy it is that we have hope in Christ Jesus. No, if you feel to be in that darkness, in that place like Jonah where there was no light in the depths, yet even there, out of the belly of hell, or the grave, as we read in the margin, cried I, and thou heardest my voice. And the Lord is the same Lord as he was in the day of Jonah, as he is today. I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And there is a word of hope. Or may we pray on unto the Lord, that the Lord would help, the Lord would deliver, and he will. And that light, little, as it were, light of hope by faith. There was no hope naturally for Jonah. There was no light naturally, yet there was light that shone upon his soul. And it was hope, it was faith that the Lord may yet be merciful and that the Lord heard him. Oh, then cry on if you are in that deep trial. You may pray unto the Lord that the Lord would deliver you, and he will. Through the precious blood of the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, his resurrection power, and he's now at the right hand of the Father interceding for you. But if you are one that is a sleeper, you know, in the ministry I've seen some very strange things as I've gone around the chapels. Thankful to say, not at Swavesey Chapel, but I've seen those that, as soon as the sermon starts, stretch out to fall asleep. Even those who are as old as even teenage children, lying across the pews, as soon as the sermon, before I've hardly got up to speak, stretch themselves out across the pews to sleep, to lie down, even in the very house of God. That shows the hardness of the heart, does it not? To have heard the word of the Lord so many times. And one has witnessed those that have sat at the back and appear to be reading perhaps a Bible, but no, it's a novel. They're asleep, even in God's house. How solemn it is when it is so. I do not speak about those very little children who naturally need more sleep. Or the babes. I'm not speaking about those who are old or frail or ill, who would wish to stay awake, but the infirmity of their body is such that through weariness they fall asleep. I remember the late servant Mr. Wood, who for a time was a member with us at Chippenham after he'd moved into the Bethesda home, how it troubled him that in his weakness as he was approaching 90 years old. He would sometimes fall asleep in the sermon. It was a great trouble to him. Nobody minded, for they knew that he was such a godly, gracious man, and he would not in the spirit have desired to be there, but there was the frailty of the flesh. But woe unto us if we are in, as it were, the midst of life, have no such excuse or reason, yet there's a falling asleep. A turning of the deaf ear, looking with the blind eye at the scriptures. A thinking of worldly things in God's house. Coming to God's house seeking that we may have a worldly advantage. Coming to God's house for other reasons than to seek the Lord and to worship Him, are we not a sleeper? What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. How often we see it. The evidence of sleepiness. We also see it in the defiance of some who will laugh even. Again, I would say I've not seen it here, but the Lord sees whether any laugh in their hearts. But I've seen it openly when I've spoken about judgment. There's, you know, I see those, some at the back laughing. I mean, I'm talking about here Gospel Standard Strict Baptist chapels. But maybe there are those that laugh in their hearts concerning these things. Laugh in their hearts. Surely the minister can't be right. I know better. What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise and call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. But I'd also come to speak about those who are the Lord's, that have tasted that the Lord is gracious. In that sense, we believe that to be the case with Jonah. He knew the call of God and the word of God. He recognised it. He knew it. He wasn't a stranger to these things. But yet, in a backsliding, went contrary to God's word. And thus, that call by God's sovereign mercies and chastening mercies. What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. It's very easy to fall into that sleepy condition, for churches to fall into a sleepy condition, denominations to come into a sleepy condition, to be going through the motions, as it were, week after week, month after month, year after year. All the more snare it is when we have a godly heritage before us and people trust in that rather than God's word and the call of God. What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. We have that need collectively, do we not, in the churches? To hearken unto the Lord. That's not just to hear the Lord's words, it's to walk in them as well. For Jonah didn't have to be brought to repentance in the fish's belly, but the Lord called him to go in that which he had been commissioned to do, and he must go to Nineveh. And there are those of the Lord's servants who have been called. And how one can speak a little bit of that myself. Nineveh was the last place one wished to go to and seek to flee from it, but there was no fleeing, had to go there. It was no good just to repent about the matter and say, well, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. There must then be the fruits of repentance, which is obedience and walking in God's way. Let us turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The reason for choosing this as the second part of our reading is that this has a number of verses which are very pertinent to what we're speaking of. In verse 4, "But ye brethren are not in darkness, that that day, that is the coming of the Lord, should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." Now here we come, and I shall speak concerning some of the following verses of those ways of the day, of spiritual wakefulness, as it were, as opposed to sleepiness. What it is to be awake spiritually, that we may try ourselves, prove the spirits, whether they be of God. For we can be alive unto the spirit of the world, but dead unto the spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit. We have God's word here before us in 1 Thessalonians 5 that sets out that way of walking in soberness, in watchfulness, not in sleepiness, not in darkness. But the first characteristics is to watch and be sober. To watch unto prayer. Do we pray? Or is prayer something that just happens in the morning reading? Well, I hope there is a morning reading and an evening reading in the family. But is prayer something that only happens then? Or only happens in the service of God's house? There is a need of prayer in every step of the way. And what a mercy it is that we don't just have to come to the chapel to pray. I've observed this on my travels abroad, often having to be at airports or changing airports in places where there are a lot of Islamic passengers also waiting at the airport, and they all have to, so many times a day, go and pray, but pointing in the direction of Mecca, and have to wash their feet as well, and their room set apart, or maybe part of the departure lounge has been taken over by them. There they all, with their prayer mats, praying unto the direction to Mecca, and there's a notice that says which way is to Mecca, and so on. Well, that blessed privilege of the Lord's people, that we may pray unto him at any time. And should we not pray unto him at all times? We do not need a prayer mat, or need to know the direction to Mecca, nor wash our feet. We may pray in the name of Jesus. We may pray unto him in the deepest trouble. We may rejoice and pray in praises unto him in deliverance. We may lift up our eyes unto him at when we suddenly are brought into need. When we have need of wisdom, have need of help. We're weary and we have need of the Lord to carry us through. What a privilege it is. And may we watch and be sober. You see, in Jonah, was not watching, he was asleep. He wasn't watching, he wasn't seeing what was happening, the storm building up, the danger of the ship, fallen asleep. And the Lord's servants especially are called to be watchmen. To watch for danger and watch for the coming of the Lord. To looking unto Jesus. Let us watch and be sober. That's sober. Sober is the opposite of drunkenness. When one is drunk, one's mental faculties and reasoning is distorted. You don't care about things, you don't understand about things. Or some, when they're drunken, they become very angry or violent. Others become sleepy. Others, they do things that they would not do. See, there's no strict forbidding of any alcohol, drinking alcohol in God's word, but there is That warning against drunkenness, that excess, taking a strong wine, personally having indulged in these things to my shame when I was, before I was 19, when the Lord began with me. The very reason for not drinking alcohol is the effect it has upon me, to do those things that I would not do, those things that are contrary to the ways of godliness. And so we are to be sober in the spirit, not to be taken up drunken with the things of this life, drunken with pride, with self-righteousness, contentiousness, taken up with these things, and then we say the things in the church that we ought not to say the things in the family we ought not to say those things outside in our business or our dealings with the unbelievers that we ought not to say. Now we have that need of being in the spirit, not to be drunken with the things of greed, covetousness, pride, lust, contention. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. We speak here of the whole armour of God, and if the Lord will, I desire to speak more of this evening. But there's the putting on of faith and love. There where there's that spiritual awakening, wakefulness, a watching and be sober, there's faith and there is love, one unto the Lord and one to another. There's hope for an helmet, a hope of salvation. You see, we have a need of it. For the devil and Satan and our carnal heart, the old man of sin, will fight hard. We have need of that armour, that spiritual armour. And that looking unto Jesus who died for us. That whether we wake or sleep, in that context, that sleep is referring there to those who have fallen asleep in Christ. And also in that natural taking of sleep, whether we are awake naturally or asleep, we should live together with him. And truly there is a glorious union between the church triumphant, those in the body who have fallen asleep in Christ, and those that are still here below. And there will be that eternally living with Christ in glory. But whether we are awake in our natural consciousness or we are asleep in the taking of rest, it should all be in his service. There should be that comfort. Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another. There's that esteeming of the Lord's servants. There's that being at peace among yourselves. These are the signs that there is a watching and a soberness. Where there's a contention, a fighting, a backbiting, there's a sign of spiritual sleepiness. Where there's a self-righteousness, like the Pharisees, a sign of spiritual sleepiness, perhaps even death. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Then we have rejoice evermore. That rising up to rejoice. A rejoicing in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord alway, and again I say rejoice. There is a sign that we are spiritually awake when there's a rejoicing. A thanking God for his goodness, even in the midst of trouble here below, but yet by faith we see that heavenly prospect in Christ, the certainty of our salvation, the certainty that the Lord is with his people, the Lord will answer prayer, a rejoicing, a praying without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Now we have that promise, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. That is the glorious hope. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The love of the Lord Jesus Christ. That which is eternal salvation in Him. Oh, may we awaken to those things. Just finally, I'd say, so often, well, I knew it as a child, and perhaps you children knew it as well in the past weeks, that prospect of receiving earthly presents, you can't sleep. Thinking about it and what you might receive tomorrow in the coming days, you can't sleep. You're thinking about those things, so excited by it. Well, it would be well for us, talking about spiritual things, if we are so excited by that prospect of being with Christ, which is far better, that prospect of unclouded communion with Him, of heaven, that we were so taken up in our hearts, like the Apostle Paul when he was in that prison. He spoke about that crown of righteousness that awaited him, that we be taken up with that, and that we be awake spiritually with that longing, that desire to him, and in the meantime, however long the Lord will spare us here below, to serve him in newness of life. May it be so. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £880, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, Dr. Sadler hopes to address the Sunday School this afternoon. Mr. Pocock is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Ramsbottom next Lord's Day, who also hopes to address the Sunday School and give the prizes. And our friends at Oakington hold their New Year service on Wednesday evening. And just a reminder, Mrs. Cooper's funeral is 1 o'clock tomorrow. Let us now close with hymn 1052. Redeemer, whither should I flee, or how escape the wrath to come? The weary sinner flies to thee for shelter from impending doom. Smile on me, gracious Lord, and show thyself the friend of sinners now. 1052.
we would ask for thy blessing upon thy word, that we may not be forgetful, but, O Lord, that we may be found praying unto thee. We may, by thy resurrection power, arise and call upon our God, that we perish not. In the precious name of Jesus, and, O Lord, we return thanks for thy help through this service. And, O Lord, do bring us up at the Sunday school and in the evening service, that thy blessing may be upon us yet. And now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us now and evermore. Amen.